Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Joseph Sub. Joseph, please tell us, first of all, where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with. You got to help me with the pronunciation here. It's is it Ramyun?
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for having me. So I am the founder and CEO of Ramyun. Ramyun, which is kind of the better for you Korean plant-based instant noodle company. And so that is the brand. And then currently I'm also a full-time employee at a major bank, and I do business loans, lines, and bankings on that side as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I always love to hear, you know, a little bit more about, you know, what people do if they're not in, like, in the business full time. And that's a lot of people's situations. If you listen to my podcast, a lot of entrepreneurs, yeah, they have ideas, they're selling CPG brands, and you'll still kind of have like one foot in a career still. So when did you actually start with this CPG brand? And tell me a little bit about your background, and maybe there's something you noticed out there in the market that you're trying to do a little bit differently, or maybe more authentically when it comes to this brand than what's out there in the market already.
Yeah, basically that's really it. You know, I'm sure you have your nostalgic moments of, you know, eating instant noodles growing up while in college, et cetera, while traveling, right? But really my background is in finance for the past probably 10 years. However, during the pandemic, I wanted to do something as a side hustle. And so I gathered up my banker friends, were like, hey, let's do some for fun, shits and giggles. Fast forward, well, almost 4 years now. And here we are, full-blown business. We're in like under 100 doors, but we've launched last year, quickly growing, building the team. But essentially, it all started with sort of the need for a better product, but still familiar to me and nostalgic to me and good for me and my family. And going back to my Korean immigrant roots, that was it. It was like instant noodles. I remember growing up, the family would gather around the table and we would have a big pot of, you know, instant ramen. And that was, you know, a very nostalgic moment for me, right? So I wanted to do justice. I mean, there's so many foods out there that we grew up on, but I kind of chose that because probably one of the most, you know, most eaten food that I had ever, you know, experienced growing up. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, that's fantastic. I appreciate you sharing that. And obviously, so you're trying to do something with a little bit like a healthier option, but not like, you know, compromise on taste and still get that, like, you know, old homegrown, like home style, you know, ramen kind of taste. So what is basically, like, you know, if I were to go buy my traditional, like, you know, instant noodles at the grocery store, you know, you get 12 of them for $5 or whatever it is. But what is really, yeah, like the big problem with those? And like I guess from a health standpoint, and what are you doing differently with your product?
Yeah, great question. I mean, there's so much to dive there, right? I mean, this whole thing really, if I go deeper into my personal story, it started with my mom and her battles with cancer, like in my early 20s and my college days. Like, there was a point in time where I really couldn't serve her anything to eat because of her chemotherapy. And so it like brings me back to those moments. It's like, man, what if I had something like this when she was around? And that was really the inspiration. Kind of, you mentioned, you know, making it more home style, right? I literally, with my partners, we created the formula in my kitchen for 2 years. And a lot of those were nights on my own after work when I really didn't feel like doing anything, just formulating different blends, hundreds of variations. And yeah, I mean, so the biggest difference is that it was created from a, I want to serve this to my family, my loved ones, point of view versus bottom line net profits of a major corporation. So it's very meaningful there because it engraves what our projections will be as a company too. That will always be the foundation. So right now, the biggest difference is that we made this so that everyone could have a seat at the table. You know, it's gluten-free, which is very rare characteristics because most products are made with wheat. We chose organic rice noodles and made it super gut-friendly, with superfoods, 15 plus superfoods, a lot of gut-friendly foods. Like, for instance, like I think almost close to 1,000 milligrams of turmeric in a savory curry. We use organic spice blends for that curry flavor, authentic gochugaru, which is Korean chili pepper, for the spicy flavor. And we just really loaded up with things that I would think would make a good soup, but at the same time, it's good for your gut, good for your body. And something that you can kind of still be familiar with and have that nostalgia, you know, redefined for you. So that's what's really different. And we're 100% plant-based. So it's really good for the planet too, which was a big thing for me. It's like, I really wanted to do good with this. I have my brand as a force for good, right? So I think one of the things that I learned over time was that animal agriculture, and I'm not vegan or anything like that, but animal agriculture is it's really bad. I think it makes up 80 or close to 80% of the air pollution, right? So which was crazy stats that I've learned over the years. And so I wanted to make you know, a good carbon footprint product brand, something that was good for you and for the planet. Sounds like a cliche now with all the better for you products out there, but really I think a lot of these founders, I give them a lot of props because they have the similar kind of let's do good kind of mindset. But essentially, you know, that's what brings us apart is where we started and the ingredients that we use and taste. Yeah, that's the biggest one.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And obviously, as you said, like it might sound like a cliche. And I mean, there is a lot of new brands trying to do things the right way and make things that are plant-based and, you know, give people those alternatives that they've been probably looking for years and never really found something that they could really land on and, you know, have and enjoy on a regular basis. I think one of the biggest issues that I find, you know, talking to so many CPG owners, and many of them do, you know, gluten-free or plant-based. And I think a lot of times with, you know, some of the things that are out there, it's just, it's not always super clear what it means. Like you say something is gluten-free, like the threshold for something being gluten-free is still like, I think it's like 50 parts per milligram or whatever it is. Just like this is still way too much for somebody who has celiac, or you know, say something is like organic or it's just like all natural. It's like those labels don't really have like a very well defined meaning. But like when you do find a product like yours that you can tell just from looking at the label, it's like, no, this is all just like it's all just real food and real ingredients. Yeah. I think at the end of the day, that's really what people are looking for. And something that can kind of trigger that nostalgia, like you mentioned, when it is something like it's just like a legacy like experience, like it is like eating ramen that way. So no, that definitely makes sense. And again, at the end of the day, whether it's plant-based or not, I think people are just looking for whole ingredients. Like I've seen a lot of products go so far in the, you know, like wanting to be like plant-based and vegan that they went right past the like natural foods all the way around to like mostly synthetic ingredients again, just for the sake of saying it's plant-based. But you can make delicious things that are plant-based with just regular like ingredients like you're doing. So no, I definitely applaud you that. It's not easy. You know, there is a lot of ways to cut corners if you're doing plant-based too. Likewise, like there is if you're doing, you know, meat-based or whatever, you know, it is, whether it's a snack food or whatever it is. So that's amazing. And I guess tell me a little bit more about your experience getting into these 75 doors that you mentioned. Was that something that you were seeking out affirmatively, like you're doing like cold outreaching, trying to get a buyer, or was it somebody that approached you after some time? Can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
Well, we launched last year at the Natural Foods Expo in Anaheim.
Oh, cool.
And it's kind of like a soft launch slash launch. We really don't have a go-to market strategy. I didn't even know what that was, to be honest with you. It was just kind of like, hey, product's ready. Let's do it. Let's just create a small batch. Let's run for it. 2023 was more of like, let's test the market, validate the product. We don't have money to kind of buy a sample size or by our core customers, but let's just see how it does. We did take 2 years creating something that no one has or no one has thought of, right? Because I learned during the process that most food products are kind of blended or are indeed outside via third party. And so you're really getting the same thing under a different hood, right? So whereas we were doing completely different from scratch. So let's see what happens. And so after the expo, I pitched Erewhon, and within a month we were accepted and approved. And I found out after the fact that Erewhon is probably one of the healthiest, most stringent, almost cultish, you know, retail chains out there. And I don't even shop at Erewhon, but I just pitched it because my co-packer said you should probably pitch there. So that one was a cold kind of lead that I just pushed, and our product was validated from day one, right? And so it was very exciting. But then after that, you know, me and my partner were kind of, you know, full time doing our banking, you know, job. And so really didn't have a lot of time to expand the business. So we're like, hey, let's just take it easy for this year, see what we can get. And we worked with the broker for about 9 months from that point. And they've kind of helped us get into more doors. And then this is probably more for the new brands out there, but you know, we utilize what's out there on the online platform. So you're looking at Fair, Shopify, Amazon. Pod Foods is great just to put your product on the market because you can fulfill your own.
I've not heard of that before. Pod Foods?
Yeah. Pod Foods, they've only been around like maybe 6 years or so. They're a startup as well, but they're essentially a better for you distributor. Right?
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. More geared towards the founders. So they have clear fees and, you know, percentages. But yeah, they're very easy to work with. You don't have to have, you know, key accounts to really work with them. Like anyone can kind of open the door with them and, you know, be exposed to the buyers. at independent to national chain level. So Popfoods is great. So I mean, so those were some of the ways we kind of got our foot in the door, got our hands wet a little bit, and kind of got into where we are today. And then it's completely different dynamics this year. But yeah, that's how things started.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that about that distro site, because it's one of the biggest pain points I hear, like doing so many CPG interviews, is basically just around like the distribution and all the fees and all the just kind of like shadiness of working with distributors, how it can be sometimes, not all the time, obviously, but many times that is like a big, kind of complaint and like a big, point of pain for a lot of CPG brands trying to find, relationships that make sense to be able to do that. And it's great for people to know. So I appreciate you mentioning that. And I guess, so as you're coming into this year, I know you said, the breakdown looks a little bit different. Are you kind of ramping up the more like a direct to consumer side coming into this year with your e-commerce and your Amazon, or what's a little bit different this year than I know you said you were kind of taking it easy and just like focusing on your your careers and jobs last year? So
yeah, I mean this year is completely different, because last year we're kind of able to validate our product. There's a market for it, right? So clearly this cup noodle thing is super underrepresented when it comes to like shelf space at retail stores. Like if you go to Whole Foods right now, there's like maybe like this much of shelf space, for cup noodles. And I'm sorry to say this, but most of them do not meet up to my standards when it comes to taste and flavor, right? That's why they're so underrepresented. But hopefully we bring a different, punch to the game. But essentially kind of this year is more about building a team, right? Because I'm part-time, like I need a team to kind of, the wheels to continue to turn, while even though I'm not really full-time in the business, right? So I can kind of delegate more. And so building like a sales team, building kind of the marketing team, the creative, those are pretty much non-existent. So creative was huge. Shout out to our new chief creative officer, Chris Altman. Like he started everything, right, for us. So, but it's more about kind of now expanding and ramping up to get to a point where we're really in the market and like people are starting to hear about us and we're doing more PR activations, right? So a different ball game for sure. A lot more money involved too. But thankfully we are a group of experienced bankers, so we know how money works to a degree, so we can leverage and have access to funds easier than others, I would say. But yeah, this year, we'll see.
Yeah, there's definitely a unique advantage, I will say, insofar as like, just having the wherewithal when it comes to finance and, having those connections in that world when you do inevitably, are looking for funding. That's another thing that I'm sure you've probably noticed in this market here in 2024, securing funds has been really, really difficult for CPG brands. I think they're, they're only able to secure funds kind of longer in the journey. They're having to do like, 5-6 years of a proof of concept to really prove before, people are coming in and wanting to take a chance with venture capital. So it's definitely a unique advantage. And I think where a lot of people go wrong, and you hear like, 75% of businesses fail in their first year. I think a lot of it probably comes down to money management and their finances. So it's definitely a good place to start. And believe me, talking to so many other CPG brand owners, I think everybody feels like they had no idea what they're doing. Even if they thought they did, once you start, you realize you actually know nothing. But it's a good leg to stand on with a finance background, that's for sure. But no, that's awesome. And I guess like, what kind of channels are you wanting to experience the most amount of like acceleration here in 2024 as you're looking to invest more and build a team? Are you looking to invest more in the wholesale side and go down like the retail route like you have been, or are you looking to do more of the direct to consumer side?
Right. So initially it's growing the marketing and advertising team, but really I met some really good advisors that I might be working with in the future as well. I'm trying to see if we can strike a deal, but we pulled back on kind of the D2C and we're going to focus on B2B. Number one for cash flow reasons, and number two, it's just free marketing and PR just by getting on the shelves. So if you're in, let's say, 300 doors, that's free marketing while you're making money. It's insane compared to kind of the marketing ad spend on, let's say, IG, and then you're working with all these ad companies, influencers. You're probably breaking even if you're lucky, right? And so because we're such an unknown brand, we thought it was a better idea to continue working on that B2B side. And so what we're looking for this year is probably one national chain to kind of put us on the map, and then really trying to see if we can get enough cash flow to sustain the business at that level, and then be more financially responsible in trying not to bite more than we can chew,
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of the goal, but really it's a simple goal for us is, one national chain that'll put us on the map, and then we'll kind of support it with all these independent accounts that we have, work with regional distributors. So yeah, I mean, it's just going to be more B2B, and then we will continue to work on kind of the brand awareness, more the organic traffic on that side, because that always helps with the B2B sales, but that's free, more or less, right? Joining PR activations, doing things like this, Instagram posts, reels, those are going to be ongoing. So we'll have a cadence for that eventually very soon. But that's really the plan this year.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And it's so interesting. I always find, you know, how those two kind of channels go hand in hand, whether you're selling direct or you're selling wholesale. Like a lot of people I met that come on the podcast, you know, they kind of just like went viral on social media, did like a ton of D2C sales through TikTok or Instagram. But then it kind of works really well too, to, you know, have a real proof of concept that way, to say like, you know, we sold like 500,000 units last year, to be able to go to wholesalers and like have a leg to stand on, instead of just, going to do like a cold pitch like you did, which was successful, obviously, which is amazing. But you know, that can be a really difficult conversation if you don't really have any type of proof of concept leading up to that. So it's interesting how those two go hand in hand. And obviously, you know, the more stores you're in, the more e-com you're going to do, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really interesting. I love that. And I know I mentioned this right before we hopped on the call. One question I do always love to ask, I know you're kind of still in the obviously like very growth stages of this business, but with 2 years of R&D and, you know, product development, and now, you know, kind of getting into much more retail doors now, surely you've learned a ton along the way. So I guess if you could go back to, you know, when this was still an idea and we were still in your kitchen, just kind of formulating before you really got into like the operations of the business, if you could give yourself any one piece of advice, if you were to kind of go to market and start this business again, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
I think it would be pretty much what I'm doing now, but have a go-to-market strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Have enough PR activations so that you kind of immediately gain trust when people are landing on your pages or your social media pages, right? Publications, whatever you can land there. And then, this is a long-term game. Don't rush. Take a deep breath and enjoy the ride as much as you can.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that answer. And it's probably not surprised to hear. It's something I hear a lot out of, you know, CPG brand owners, which is just like, you know, like I ask, like, you know, instead of what would you do differently? Like, what advice would you give somebody starting out? And it's almost always, you know, understand that it's going to take probably 5 to 10 times longer for everything on the front end than you think. No, even if you already have something formulated and ready to go, like the relationships that you need to be able to scale take a really long time. And if you grow too fast on your sales, you're not going to be able to, you know, deliver on those things and, you know, execute on those things. Like if you like do some crazy like digital marketing campaign, you get 1 million orders and your capacity for, you know, production is like 5,000 a month. It's not looking too good. It's going to be bad for your brand. Right. So I think it's good advice. And, you know, I think the more and more that comes up, like if somebody were to ask me basically like, you know, what have I learned from talking to 100 CPG brand owners in the past few months, that would be probably not my number one takeaway. It's just like, you know, understand your roadmap, understand your runway and like what it takes to get there, and not like bite off more than you can chew, as you said. So I appreciate that advice. I think it's really good advice for anybody listening that might be interested in starting a brand like this. So, and yeah, Joseph, I just want to say, just want to give you an opportunity as well. Anybody listening, maybe interested in a potential business partnership with you, or just want to check out the website and see where they can find the product as well. Let everybody know how to stay in touch with you all.
Well, you can reach me at our email info@ramen.com. And then you can kind of reach all of us at the same time there. And then our IG is always open. So DM us. But thanks for your support. Thank you, Matt, for having me. Wishing you and everyone watching, you know, a huge successful year.
Awesome, man. You as well, Joseph. Yeah, I love what you're doing. I love your why behind what you're doing. It's an awesome story. And yeah, I wish you the best of luck and continued success as well. And I really look forward to keeping in touch as well.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Joseph.
All right. So that's it, huh?
Thanks, everybody. Yep.